This is Bill Woods, and I want to remind you again that there's still power in the blood. I've been watching, as you have, all the things that are happening to our nation today, and I need to encourage you in the fact that God's still in control. We've seen our nation who, a month ago, had tremendous economy, a nation that seemed to have all kinds of job opportunities and stuff. We've been brought to our knees. And I think a good part of this is the fact that Satan's getting ready to try to start the tribulation. He's trying to put his Antichrist in place. As I read the different things and see what's going on with the Pope and some of the things he's trying to do right now, and with the Bill Gates and Gates Foundation and the wanting to require everybody to have a vaccination and be registered to be able to buy or sell. All these things smack of what's going to happen at the end times in the tribulation period. But I want you to know, no matter what we face, Jesus Christ is right there. And he can help us if we will walk with him. He's given us some promises back in Deuteronomy. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Jesus promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. And so if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have to be worried about what Satan's going to do or what Satan is accomplishing in our world. In fact, I believe before Satan is turned completely loose, that you and I, if you know Christ as your Savior, will be taken out in the rapture. We'll be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Somebody asked me one day, who in hell is Satan anyhow? Well, we want to talk about that a little bit. We want to talk about the fact that God has given us authority to stand against him. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, every professional I know has some sort of toolkit. Doctors have their medical bags and all kinds of things in there. Dentists have their instruments of torture. I just recently had a root canal this last week, and I know firsthand about that stuff. Carpenters have their toolboxes with hammers and saws and levels and tape measures and all those things. Mechanics have their tool chest full of wrenches and sockets. I was thinking, even my wife and her quilters group have specialized tools in order to be able to sew and quilt and do all the things they do. Well, Satan has his tools too. He's a professional at what he does. Satan's been around for a long time, more than 6,000 years of human history. He's been around longer than that, but been about 6,000 years since God created the world, and Satan's been after us. During all that time, he's developed and honed many tools to defeat poor, dumb humans. Look at his toolbox. You'll see quite a few tools that he's got to help him do his work. He's got discouragement, offense, bitterness, fear, greed, lust, non-forgiving attitude, anger, selfishness, doubt, pride, procrastination, political correctness. This is just to name a few of his tools, how he's constantly coming at us trying to defeat us. Satan offers death. Jesus Christ offers life. In Deuteronomy 30:15 says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Jeremiah 21:8 says, now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. I can get a kind of a mental picture of, you know, standing at the banks between two different streams and seeing in one the life-giving, crystal clear water and effervescing and very healthy to drink. And then on the other side, I see the stream that's polluted, that's full of garbage and just nasty. And you know that you'd get disease by drinking out of that. You know, I don't know why we'd take the polluted stream when we've got the opportunity to take the one that's pure and wholesome. Christians need to know some things. We need to know who Satan is. We need to know how he works. We need to know how he's organized, and we need to know how to combat him so that he doesn't defeat us or our loved ones. It's Gwen Rabel, a friend of mine, has said, the church is the only army in the world that wants to remain ignorant to what the enemy's doing. So one day I had somebody ask me this question. He said, who in hell is Satan? Satan and his demons, I need to let you know, are not co-equal with God. God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. And he's omnipresent, which means that no matter where you go, God is there because he's everywhere. And the thing that you need to know is Satan is not any of these things. Satan is a created being who rebelled against God. He can tempt you with evil. He cannot force you to do evil. Jesus said he's a thief. He's a liar. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, at one time, Satan was known as Lucifer. He was a magnificent, intelligent, most beautiful of God's creation, perfect angel that had been created. He was the worship leader in heaven. In fact, he was an archangel. He led the worship around the throne of God. As an archangel, Lucifer had authority over other angels. It's said that maybe a third of the angels were under his authority. But, you know, he fell because pride caused his fall. He convinced himself because of his beauty, because of his intelligence, because of the talents that he had, that he ought to be worshipped instead of people worshiping God. He organized rebellion in heaven and tried to overthrow God. We read in Isaiah 14:12-17, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed his cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? See, Satan introduced sin to the universe and as a result was cast out of heaven to earth. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Sin, you know, we know the definition of sin. Sin is a known transgression against the known will of God, or sometimes Calvinists will say sin is a transgression against the will of God. But I think the most simple explanation of sin, the best definition is sin is selfishness. It's putting self and selfish plans ahead of God. And Satan introduced sin to man. He disguised himself as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had been told they could eat of any fruit of any tree in the garden except the one in the center of the garden, and they were to leave it alone. And Satan said, did God really tell you to leave that alone? He came and tempted Eve and Adam. Genesis 3:1 says, now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? How subtle. He convinced Adam and Eve that God had not wanted them to eat of the garden because of the things that they would find out. They would know they could be as intelligent as God. What he was doing was with tempting them with the very same thing that brought him down. And he still has access to the throne of God today. He's the accuser of the brethren. He no longer lives in heaven, but has access to petition God. And I want you to know that'll soon stop. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night, and he has been cast down. In Zechariah 3:1, we see Satan standing before the angel of the Lord, accusing Joshua, the high priest. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, and Job chapter 2, 1 through 6, again, Satan comes before the Lord God to accuse Job and say, the only reason Job is serving you is because the way you blessed him. If you remove some of these blessings, he would not serve you anymore. And so the test came. Job passed with flying colors, but he didn't know why he was going through all this agony. Because he was going through it because Satan had challenged God about it. Soon, Satan won't have access to God's throne to bring his accusations. Revelation 12, 12 and 13, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. You know, today we have to contend with Satan. What you need to know about him, though, is he is not omnipresent. He's organized his demons or fallen angels into a spiritual hierarchy. It's kind of like a military organization. And Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He's created strongholds that we must break. Daniel 13:10 tells about how Daniel had been praying that God would give him some answers about how long the captivity was going to be and all these different things that he was curious about. And an angel showed up and said, Daniel, I've been trying to get here for 21 days. God gave you the answer right away, and I've been trying to get through to give it to you for 21 days, but I've been withheld by the principality, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which would be Iran today. He said, for 21 days I've tried to get through, was not able to until Michael the archangel came and assisted me. See, the demon entity over the Columbia Gorge, where I served for several years, I knew about it because we went up against it. It was a demon, Indian demon by the name of Sagagalala. Satan has strongholds and principalities over where you live too. Until we take a stand and pray and war, we'll see very few victories. Paul called Satan the god of this age. The world's under Satan's powers and Satan's influence, and seems like he's getting more evil all the time, and that seems to fit because this is probably the generation to see more demonic activity than any other generation except when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth. The reason for that is Jesus is going to come back very soon, and Satan knows he's got very little time and is trying to exercise everything he can to cause problems. According to Ephesians 2:2, Satan's commander of the powers of the unseen world. He leads superhuman forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Christians try to ignore him. They try to pretend that Satan doesn't exist, but the world knows different. And Satan, by the way, is not a little cartoon character and with horns and wears red underwear and stuff. Satan is very real, And Satan is a very real threat to those who don't know Jesus Christ. If people today serve Satan because he promises power, wealth, prestige, fame, sex, whatever it is they want. But you know, Satan is a rough taskmaster. He doesn't love his followers. He doesn't love anybody. He cannot love. He destroys his own people. I don't know how many times I've been in a deliverance with somebody trying to come out from demonic bondage and said that Satan just had been torturing him and what a rough taskmaster he was. He offers only death and destruction because that's all he has. Jesus said he's a liar, that he cannot speak the truth. So whatever he promises, it's a lie. Don't fall into his trap because he cannot tell you the truth. 1 Peter 5:8-9 tells us that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and we are to resist him. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We must know who he is and what he is doing, or how in the world could we resist him? You know, he's trying to snatch the young and weak. I'd say this, you'd better shore up your own life, know Jesus Christ, have an up-to-date walk with him, and then shore up your home and those in there protecting them. Your children, your grandchildren must choose Jesus Christ while they're young. The longer they wait, the less likely they'll be to follow Jesus. And parents and grandparents, I can't tell you how important it is that every day you take some time to teach your children about Jesus Christ and how God loves them. And I know that people get busy and they don't think they have the time, but what you're doing now is busyness only lasts for this lifetime. The foundation you build under your children is going to last for all eternity. The world thinks that Satan's powerful. In fact, they think he's as powerful as Jesus Christ. That's not so. He's stronger than we are, but he's been defeated by Jesus. Satanic forces were defeated through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, people say, well, Satan can read your thoughts. No, he can't. Only God knows your thoughts. Satan can't know your specific future. If he could know the future, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. He thought he won a victory, only to find out that he was defeated worse than he ever thought he could be. Satan and his demons will be thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to be there for all eternity. What I'm saying is, Satan is going to hell. He's not going there to rule. He's going there to burn like all the other sinners. And praise God, he's going to be there. Revelation 20:2 covers how he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. It says in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came to destroy him. Christ's crucifixion and resurrection totally neutralized Satan's program. Christ's victory sets us free from sin and guilt. Satan accuses us before God and petitions our destruction, but we don't have to worry about that. Our problem, though, is that we don't pray enough. Satan works against us. Our defenses are down. We're too involved with worldly things. I would say shame on us. And I'm not one to really push at you a whole lot about this because I have as much trouble as you do trying to make my prayer life very important and very, you know, not be dissuaded from spending time in prayer. Do you think for a moment that God would have honored Moses or Elijah's ministries if they hadn't prayed? James 5:16, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. These were men of prayer. These were men that could pray and they would know when they went before the authorities, thus saith the Lord. I read about one night John Patton and his wife, who were missionaries to the New Hebrides Islands. They were woken up by chance outside their mission station. They looked out the window and they saw scores of hostile islanders surrounding the station with torches, and it seemed like they were intent on burning the place down and killing the missionary couple. The Pattons fell on their knees and began to pray throughout the night, asking God to deliver them. The tense, dark hours passed, yet the islanders kept their distance. They didn't come charging in. Finally, at daybreak, the Pattons looked out the window and the hostile tribesmen were gone. Well, John Patton was baffled. What in the world had happened? These people seemed so intent on attacking. There seemed to be nothing that would prevent the islanders from coming on in, and yet no attack came. Patton didn't find out why the islanders left so mysteriously until a year later, when the chief, who accepted Christ as his personal savior, was talking with him, and he asked him, he said, "Remember the night-long siege a year ago that, you and your people were all around here?" And he asked the chief why the tribesmen had departed instead of burning the mission station to the ground. The chief said, "We were afraid of the men who were with you." "What men?" asked Patton. "There were 100 tall men around the mission house that night," said the chief. "Their clothing shone with light. They had swords in their hands. We knew they'd never let us harm you, so we went back to our village." Eric Ludi said, "Prayer isn't some BB gun that God has given us to try to shoo away raccoons in the night. Prayer is nuclear power, world renovating in its epic strength. When used according to the pattern of Scripture, prayer alters history, alters the natural world, and alters the human soul." I would challenge you to join me as we try to increase our prayer lives, as we try to find more strength in what we do. The sword of the Spirit is too heavy for mere man to carry, but prayer enables us to lift it, to swing it, and transform the world around us with it. Prayer is the catalyst behind everything godly taking place in the earth. Satan can only defeat us if we're not striving to walk with God and do his will. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. He's the biggest loser in history. He's bound for hell, but you don't have to go there with him. Satan's a created, rebellious, tempting, evil power, but his existence doesn't remove your responsibility to God. Satan cannot defeat you unless you let him. Realize this: God loves you. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Recognize you can't be saved from sin by your own good works. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Admit that you're a sinner separated from God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Repent of your sins. Peter tells them to call upon the name of the Lord. Turn to him. Call upon Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins and rose again from the dead. And then have courage. God's stronger than Satan. We're on the winning team. So when you pray and ask God to forgive your sins, quit the sin business entirely and start living for Jesus Christ and become a prayer warrior, doing something magnificent for the Lord. Satan wants our worship, but I've chosen to worship the real ruler of the universe, the real hero, Jesus Christ. I'll rule with him forever and ever while Satan burns in hell. Satan and his followers celebrate death. If you don't understand that, look around some Halloween. See all the things for his holiday where there's death and destruction and monsters and just ugly. That's not what God wants for us. I've chosen to celebrate life and life more abundantly. Deuteronomy 30:15 says that God's put before us the stream of life and the stream of death. Why choose death? Who in hell is Satan? He is a loser who has made wrong choices and has bought the farm spiritually and will soon be cast into the lake of fire where he will burn forever and forever. Revelation 20:10. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Lord of all the universe. One day, every knee shall bow and recognize who he is. Philippians 2, 10, 11, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't wait until you are forced to bow. I would like to do it now and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Don't wait to be forced to bow before him. Worship his majesty now. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray today that you'll help as we think about who you are and as we realize, Lord, that Satan's trying to defeat us, but we don't have to submit to him. We can have strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just pray, God, that you'll help those that are listening today that have heard this message to realize if they've not accepted Jesus Christ, their Savior, this is a perfect time to do that, to confess their sins and accept you. We know that the world is on its way to total destruction, but we know, Jesus, that you're right here and you can give us salvation and that you can give us strength for whatever we have to face. I'd pray, Lord, that those that are hearing me right now, if they don't know you, will confess their sins and accept you as their Savior. Be with their families, protect them, and give us, Lord, the wisdom and guidance we need to walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, again, if you would like to get in contact with me somehow, my mailing address is William Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. That stands for Reverend William W. Woods. And I want you to know, we just pray that God will use this to touch you and bless you, and that we're going to upgrade so that we will have a permanent website that you can find whenever you want to. And we just would like to know if you find Christ as your personal Savior. Also, I've written a book years ago called There's Still Power in the Blood. And if you would like to have a copy of that, I would have to ask you if you would pay the printing costs and the postage, which $15 would cover that. If you wanted to do that, that would be fine, and we would get one off to you. It has to do with spiritual warfare, has to do with how you can gain control over satanic forces, and how you can safeguard, protect yourself from the onslaughts of Satan. I do appreciate being able to come and spend this time with you. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.